And now the game where we ask people who have done a lot to do one more thing. Jerry Weintraub's resume reads like a history of the late 20th century. He helped manage Elvis, Sinatra, Bob Dylan, John Denver, and Led Zeppelin. He produced the movies Nashville, The Karate Kid, the Ocean's 11 series with George Clooney. And along the way, he was best friends with President George H.W. Bush and Armin Hammer. He's written up a bunch of his stories into a new memoir. We hope we can get him to share the more embarrassing ones with us. Jerry Weintraub, welcome to Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Thank you.
Do you ever look back in your own life and think, come on, that didn't happen?
Yes, all the time. I look back and I'm very, very tired. I'm 72 years old. I feel 92 when I read the book.
You fit in a lot. One of the stories I loved is the story about your first trip, because you grew up in New York. Your father was a successful salesman of jewelry.
Yes.
And he took you all out to L.A. to see the glamorous. This must have been in the 1940s, right, when you made this?
Yeah, 1947.
Right. And you had this encounter with stardom that made you think that you could be one of them someday.
Right. I walked around with my sixth grade autograph book when I graduated from the sixth grade at PS 70 in the Bronx, and I got autographs all over Beverly Hills, Betty Grable and Cesar Romero and Vic Damone and so on and so forth. It was a fantastic place.
And you ran into Betty Grable on the studio lot, right?
I did. She was sitting in the commissary at 20th Century Fox, and she had those beautiful legs up on the table, and then she belched. And it killed it for me.
It killed it? What do you mean?
And I told her that years later when we became friends. I said, you know, you ruined my life. You belched when you after lunch. You didn't say, excuse me, it killed me.
One of the things that I note in your stories about your own career is time and time again, you put yourself confidently into situations that you were totally unqualified to do.
Thanks.
No, really. I mean, you tell these stories in yourself. Like the story of how you ended up managing Elvis Presley on tour. You said you woke up one day and said, I'm going to take Elvis Presley on tour. You didn't know anybody. You didn't know Elvis Presley.
Right.
You said, I'm going to do this.
It just happened because I believed it was going to happen. And it took me a year to get him. And I had to raise $1 million. And I did. And we had a very, very long run together. I did every show he ever did, and we had a wonderful time.
You do have this ability, again, as you describe in your book, to charm people into doing what you was to your mutual benefit. Is there a trick, Jerry? I mean, you know, here we are. We're all trying to convince people of things. And you were so good at it as a salesman of yourself and your own skills. Is there a trick that you can teach us?
Well, to be serious for a moment, what worked for me for the last 52 years in show business was the fact that I never heard the word no. The word no to me was always an opportunity to make people say yes.
So if I said no to you right now, you wouldn't actually hear it. It'd be like a...
No, I'd hang up. And
oh, okay.
It'd be over. The show
would be over. Done. It'd be over. I'm not going to do that.
Jerry,
I wanted
to ask a question. Now, it's I can understand, you know, representing Elvis and also Led Zeppelin, but John Denver is such a different direction.
Yeah, John Denver was a great artist. He's the only artist that ever fired me. But other than that, he was a great friend of mine and a great guy, and luckily we ended up friends. It was fine, you know. When he fired me, I was left with a terrible list of artists, you know, Bob Dylan, Led Zeppelin, Presley, Frank Sinatra, at Moody Blues, etc., etc.
That must have been a dark period, Jerry.
It was a very dark period.
In the book, you tell the story of a prior time that John Denver tried to fire you.
Yes, well, he was in Europe, and he was on tour, and everything was wrong. He hated everything. He hated the venues. He hated the airplanes were no good. The sound systems were no good. Everything was no good. And he said to me, you know, I'm going to fire you. Everything's wrong here. I said, yeah, I know. Sat down with him. I said, John, everything is going to be fine. He said, why? Why? I said, because I fired Ferguson. He said, why did you fire Ferguson? Why? What is firing him going to do? I said, he's been responsible for all the things that you're troubled by, the hotels, the sound system, the venues, the da-da-da-da-da. And he said, it's going to be okay now. I said, yes, I'm putting other people in. Great. And that evening, Denver and I went out to have something to eat, at dinner, I said to him, John, you know, I feel really terrible about firing Ferguson. He said, why? I said, because it's not like you and it's not like me. And John Denver said to me, I agree with you. It's not like us. What can we do to help the guy? It's really not like me. I got to help him. I said, I'll put him in another area in the company. He'll be fine. We'll take good care of him. He said, that's great. I feel so much better. Of course, there never was a Ferguson.
Right.
Whoa.
You tell a similar story about dealing with Led Zeppelin at one point when they thought their concert wasn't
Zeppelin,
allowed.
Yeah, the first show I did with Zeppelin, it was in New York. Jimmy Page was playing Stairway to Heaven, and when I came off the stage, they called. He wanted to see me right away, and I went backstage and I walked in at Jimmy Page, and Jimmy Page said to me, I can't hear myself playing Stairway to Heaven. The sound system stinks. And I said, what are you talking about? It's a great sound system. He said, Jerry, there's not enough sound. So I said, okay, I'll fix it for tomorrow night. I'll fix it. I sent my people out, and I got every box in New York I could find. I painted them all black.
Oh my God.
They went up to the ceiling all around the stage. They weren't connected to anything, but they were up on the stage. And Jimmy came out. He played Stairway to Heaven. Came off the stage, and he said to me, that's sound.
Wow. So now that you've published these stories in a book, are you afraid that some of these people are going to find out and get mad at you for fooling them back when?
I don't know if they'll get mad at me or not. It's okay.
You could just blame Ferguson.
Right. Okay.
Jerry Weintraub, we've asked you here to play a game we're calling...
Man, I hate my job.
Carl speaks not for himself, but for the millions of people, Jerry Weintraub, who are not like you.
Right.
You've spent your career flying about on private jets with celebrities. We thought we'd ask you three questions about terrible jobs.
Okay.
Get two of these questions right, you'll win our prize for one of our listeners, Carl's voice, on their home answering machine. So, Carl, who is impresario Jerry Weintraub playing for?
Jerry is playing for Laura Terek of Phoenix, Arizona.
Let's begin with a scientist at Purdue University in Indiana. His name is Andrew Robinson. And once, for scientific purposes, he had to work as a what? Was it A, as a hermit, B, as a bean counter, or C, as a couch potato?
B.
You're going to go for bean counter? You're right. He had to count beans.
All right.
He was studying different reproductive rates of soybean plants. So every day for months, he had to count the beans day after day after day to see which plant had more beans. Very good. Very good.
Okay.
All right. Next question. Six lucky people were recently hired by the European Space Agency to do what? A, to pretend to be monkeys so the real monkeys, the test animals, wouldn't get lonely. B, see how close they could stand to a rocket firing without being burned. Or C, to get locked inside a fake spaceship for a year and a half.
I would say A, the monkeys.
You're going to say to pretend to be monkeys just to get the real monkeys company?
Yes.
That would be a good job.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the answer was C.
Ooh.
To see if people can survive a trip to Mars, six people have agreed to be locked inside this big mocked-up spaceship.
Right.
And by the way, if they do this, they don't then get to go to Mars. They just get to do this. All right.
Oh, that's
exciting.
Great job.
As a showman, Jerry, you know, you always want to keep it exciting to the climax. That's what we have done.
Right.
If you get this last question right, you win. You win it all.
Right.
Keith Jackson of Britain has one of the most dull jobs in the world. What does Keith Jackson do for a living? A, he watches paint dry. B, he stares at the ceiling. Or C, he twiddles his thumbs. Twiddles his thumbs? You think that there'd be somebody who would pay you to twiddle your thumbs?
Obviously, if they'd been around in a space station for a year and a half.
He's not in the space station.
Oh, that's all right. I still think he'd twiddle his thumbs.
You think so? You think that's the one? Is that your final choice?
Final choice.
Final choice.
Final choice.
I'm afraid the answer was he watches paint dry.
Wow.
As previously mentioned some years ago on this very show, he works as a technician at a paint company, monitoring how quickly it takes for their products to dry. I'm sorry. You know, I'm wondering.
Can't they just, use a camera? I mean, that's crazy.
Well, you know, you have to go over and you have to touch it to see if it's sticky, apparently.
No.
And could you try to convince me that you were right by picking the other answer? I think you could, actually.
I was right. I was right.
You were right.
I'm twiddling my thumbs now.
Making good money, darn it. Carl, how did Jerry Weintraub do in our quiz?
Well, Jerry needed at least two correct answers to win for Laura Terrick of Phoenix, Arizona, but sadly he had just one correct answer.
I'm sorry to hear that. Oh, well.
But Jerry, what did she lose?
What did she lose? She lost the chance to have Carl's voice in her home answering machine.
Oh, well, gosh, there must be a way I can work that out with Carl.
Well, wait a minute.
I bet you could.
Here's our chance. Here's our chance to learn from the master. Carl's standing right here. He's listening. Jerry, what do you got to offer him?
Let's talk, Jerry.
Jerry Weintraub is an award-winning producer, a Hollywood bigwig, and the author of the new book, When I Stop Talking, You Will Know I'm Dead. And it is a charming and funny book filled with great stories about amazing people. Jerry Weintraub, thank you so much for joining us today. What a pleasure to talk to you.
Thank you. I had a ball.
Bye-bye.
If there's a bustle in your hedgerow, don't be alone there. It's just a spring cleaning.